Good morning, welcome to Christ Today, and today we have with us Pastor Alfredo, and we are just enthusiastic about what God is doing in our lives and in the people around us. You can call that the church, but we are here and full of life and love for many, many people. Good morning, Pastor Alfredo.
Good morning, John. I love your joy. That's so cool.
I am joyful. I feel so great with Christ, the Spirit of Christ all around.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're supposed to rejoice, and again I say rejoice, he says, right? So.
And I would like to just remind everybody that Pastor Alfredo has a church called the Rock of Life Fellowship, and it is a place where there's so many wonderful people that feel the joy of the Lord, and they're so welcoming. Anyway, I want to say that.
We're blessed. Thank you.
Yes.
We're blessed. Yeah, so it's just been we were just sitting here talking before the program, just talking about how much joy the Lord gives us despite the circumstance, no matter what we're going through. We are to be joyful. Amen.
And we do have lots of challenges in the world also, and we see them coming to our very own society and the world.
Yes, that's what we were talking about.
Well, I look at the people who have actually become martyrs. Well, I do that sometime. Who stand for Jesus Christ in other countries, like India or Indonesia, Africa. There's people all over the world, and there's thousands who die for their faith in Jesus Christ. And we have such a strong love for Christ that, we want to serve him.
Yeah. I belong, I look at the Voice of the Martyrs.
Yes.
And I just ordered a book from them, and I look at their website on occasion because I pray for the people that are being persecuted and martyred. I mean, Christianity is not popular. And it just isn't. You know, it seems like everything goes except for Christianity, except for the truth, right? And there's so many Christians that I read about that are, you know, pastors that are imprisoned or Bible studies that are underground someplace, and when they're discovered, people are put in prison and they're beaten and their Bibles are confiscated and how you have to sneak Bibles into certain countries. And I mean, it's just, people think we have it rough here in America. My goodness, no, we're so blessed in so many ways still. There, I mean, I just read where in Africa, where I think it was another 20 Christians were killed, somebody going into the church and shooting them. And of course, there's, you know, the Christians in Egypt that are killed, in North Korea and China, you can go on. Boy, preaching the word of God is what we're supposed to do, but it comes with a price.
Yes, in Nigeria, there were lots of people who were Christians who were...
That was it, Nigeria, yeah.
Yeah, they were murdered. But that's not going on here, even though we do feel a certain amount of hostility from people who... Well, I don't know I feel hostility from time to time.
Oh, yeah, you can see it. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it's getting worse. I look at the you know, I look online, I make sure I'm aware of things, and you can see stories where, you know, someone's preaching on a sidewalk in a public area, and they're harassed, or they're arrested, and that happened in Canada. It's happened here in the United States, where a street preacher is arrested. One gentleman was arrested for, they said he was disturbing the peace. His amplifier was too loud. So they arrested him, put him in cuffs. They just arrested a young man who was preaching in a park. Or they're even not even by that. It's some of the preachers that are street preaching, they're accosted by people. And you can see some of the demonic, obviously the demonic influence.
True.
People walked up. I saw one video where two gentlemen were preaching. On a public place, public sidewalk was perfectly acceptable, and they were basically attacked by a man for the gospel, and it's increasing. But you know that's okay. We're called to do that. We still have God's protection. We're said, go out therefore, make disciples, preach the word. I mean, we're constantly told to preach the word and do it in a gentle manner when people ask us about our faith. And that's our job. We're ambassadors of Christ. Boom. That's it.
Yes, and I have heard testimonies of having a time of solitude in prison, for instance, where a person will say it was their time with Jesus. Jesus came to visit me, and they would not trade that time for anything.
All right, absolutely.
Yeah. Voice of the Martyrs is a wonderful publication just to read and look through, and you are encouraged in your faith to see other Christians so strong in their faith.
And it drives you to prayer. I mean, you read these things and like, oh, I'm praying for these people. I am going to pray that they get the Bibles, they get the Holy Spirit protection, and that they're favored, and God will hopefully protect them. And if anybody is persecuted, you know, Jesus told us, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to have tough times. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted. So, I mean, it's something that we have to deal with, but there's no better cause. And the rewards, and everybody says, obviously, the retirement plan's out of this world. So, yeah, I'm okay with it.
Prayer is a big thing. And I talk to people sometime about prayer, and they have, so many have an image of a prayer closet where we sit and we pray with God. And I like to think of, hey, I see something, I see somebody, and I say, Lord, help them. It's a simple prayer.
Yeah. We need to pray without ceasing.
Yes. This reminds me of the Bible things.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What do you think about the Old Testament and the New Testament? We have all the history of Old Testament looking forward to Jesus and the New Testament looking back to Jesus and what he did for us on the cross.
Yeah. God's word is relevant from the first word to the last word. It's all his word. We are, you know, there are things that we learn from the Old Testament, the New Testament. We're not to be New Testament followers only. God's word is absolute and never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, forever. God never changes. So we take the whole Bible. It is the truth. And so there's so many things that we can learn from the entire Bible, from first word in Genesis to the last word in Revelation.
Oh, that just makes me giddy. I don't know why, but I'm giggling on the inside just to think about the whole Bible.
Well, we were talking about it in church on this last Sunday in 2 Timothy 4. Well, we were talking about it's the sound doctrine. Oh. And in 2 Timothy 4, it talks about how, well, Paul, it's one of his, basically the last letter before he was executed. Mm-hmm. And Paul's pleading with Timothy, you know, protect the church, watch the church, be cautious of what's going around, you know, stay in the faith. And he's warning Timothy about people that are going to fall away because they're not listening. Well, I'll back up a little bit. When most people read 2 Timothy 4, it says, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, myths, you know, make-believe. It's false truths. And when we read this, it's kind of what we're talking about, pressing into the word of God, which is sound doctrine. And I did a study on that word, you know, endure sound doctrine. So it just, you know, bear with me for a second here.
Please. But
the problem lately about people listening to these false truths and this misinformation, these lies and these fables, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. And you know, and all roads lead to God. And and what you believe is going to get you with God, that's fine. What I believe, and we're all going to end up in the same place. All that is just such a lie. And people are chasing after what makes them feel good. It's and the reason what Paul is really saying here, the reason why people are falling away from the church, even people that call themselves Christians, the reason why they're falling away right now, the reason why they're struggling, and the reason why people are even churches you can't corrupt the word of God, but you can misrepresent it. So the reason why there are certain churches that are falling away from the truth and they're infusing the world's culture and the world's beliefs into their churches is because of what Paul's saying. It's not because, when you read the scripture, it's not because, you know, I just want to be me and I just want to, I like this truth over this truth. My ears just want, makes me feel good. That's the result of what Paul is saying. The foundational issue is the very first line, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And what does that mean? Endure sound doctrine. That's the problem. That's the foundation. Endure. Endure means to prevail, to overcome, to have this stamina to pursue righteousness and get through things. And I'm going to endure in this. I'm going to go through this because I know it's the best thing for me. I'm going to prevail. I'm going to conquer. I'm going to overcome. That's what endure means. And then sound is an audio. Sound means foundational. It means the truth. It means uncorruptible. It's sound. It's without fail. And the doctrine is the canon. The doctrine is that foundational truth that's incorruptible. And so the reason why so many Christians are falling away right now and falling for all these false things in culture is because they're weak. They are not enduring sound doctrine. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to do the right thing that pleases God. It's so easy to fall into sin. It's so easy to do what pleases us. It's so easy to fall into the flesh. And the problem is that we're not enduring going through this walk that Paul's saying, I fought the good fight. I ran the race. I endured. And Christians are having a really tough time enduring because life is difficult. And Jesus says, you're going to have tough times, but fear not, I've overcome the world. So God calls us to endure. He calls us to prevail, to conquer, because through Christ we have this victory. And right now when times get tough and the culture's against us and the government seems to be against us and even the truths are being twisted, Christians are having a real tough time, what Paul said, enduring sound doctrine. That's the problem. That's the reason why Christians are falling away from church, or people that call themselves Christians. They're falling away, they're backsliding, they're falling back into sin, because it's not easy enduring sound doctrine. It's not easy following the way, the truth, the life. It takes the armor of God, it takes strength, it takes your Christian community, it takes your church, it takes your brothers and your sisters, it takes you being in the Word of God, it takes prayer, it takes avoiding temptation. All the things that God talks about is part of enduring our Christian walk. And if we're weak and we're not feeding ourselves and we're empty vessels, like Paul says, we can't pour out because we're empty. And that's why you see so many Christians nowadays falling for all these false fables and myths and false truths. It's because people rise up, get some strength from the Lord. Lord says, if you abide in me, I abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to press into God and Jesus like never before, led by the Holy Spirit like never before. Why? So we can endure sound doctrine and walk away from the myths and the fables and the lies that are being thrown at us.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I hope people listen to this multiple times. We have something going on where we understand the Bible and Jesus Christ and what he talks about. We also have things that uplift us. For instance, that we are in fellowship, and for instance, when we have music.
Yeah,
those are things which also, the uplift, I like that. They uplift us, but sound doctrine is another factor.
It's all about the Word of God. Matter of fact, if you read through 2 Timothy 4, which I would challenge everybody this week, it's a very short chapter, but there's so much deep meaning into it, because Paul in this letter, he knew his time was getting short, and you can tell one of his main concerns as he's ending, as getting towards the end of his life, one of his main concerns was the stability of the church, the stability of the body of Christ. And that's why he's writing this letter. He's basically imploring Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4, he says, he says, go out, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. No matter what time is, whether it's raining or sunny, whether the weather's good or bad, whether you're in a small town, a large town, whether you're talking to one person or 1,000, he's saying, preach the word in every season. And he says, endure. And the reason why he says endure, because he's telling us to, it says, convince people, rebuke. That means point out the lies, cast out those lies, tell people that's not true, that's not real, that's not Jesus, that's not the true God, that's not the true church. He says rebuke, he says exhort, like you said, lift them up, uplift them, show them that, of this power that God has that can help us overcome and give us victory. Exhort people, lift them up. And then he says, do this with patience and teaching. That's all in 2 Timothy 4. I mean, it's probably one of the most powerful chapters in all the Bible, because Paul's concern is, hey, everybody listening right now, hey, life is difficult. And it's so rewarding, and it's beautiful, and it's awesome, and the blessings that God gives us and the favor overcomes all that. But Jesus says, hey, look, times are going to get tough. And if we can't endure sound doctrine, if we're not armored up, if we're not ready, you see how many people are falling. You got churches falling. You got pastors falling. You got worship leaders denouncing their faith. You've got entire denominations of churches allowing false doctrines into their churches right now. Why? Because they're not enduring sound doctrine. It's the results of that is, I want to hear what I want to hear. I want to hear what makes me feel good. The foundational issue is they're not enduring, prevailing, challenging themselves, no matter what the circumstance, to remain founded in the truth of God's word and fight it out and be ambassadors of Christ. Armor up. We're soldiers in the Lord's army. Let's go.
And I will reflect on Paul. Or you are saying that Paul was saying that time is short. And that is something that we all need to take into our understanding also. Time is short one way or another, whether this is the end of the age right now and we only have a short time, or our life. Our life is limited also, and we only have so much time to tell the people we know and love, our families, our friends, or strangers, that the Bible is true, and Jesus offers salvation.
Yeah, and you can tell there's something going on in the world right now. I mean, if everybody's listening right now, maybe you guys can relate to this. But there's something going on in the sense where people are waking up to the spiritual battle that's going on. That whether it's in your job or your neighbors or your friends and family, whether they have a relationship with God or not, people are looking at the world and they're saying, something's going on. There's something happening. I've never been in a time like this where good is now called bad, and bad is now called good. The fighting, the division, the obvious spiritual battle against the truth of God's word. I mean, being a Christian is not a popular thing anymore. It used to be one of the foundations of our nation, and it's really not anymore. And so what's happening is people are starting to wake up, even people that don't have a relationship with God, people that call themselves agnostic or atheist, they're starting to realize there's something spiritual going on. Why? Because God put that in us. Every one of us is going to question God's existence at one point. God says everyone's going to come to a point where they're going to go, I wonder if there's a God. He says his very creation calls out his existence. And people are starting to get that now. I mean, we've got people walking in a rock of life. We're kind of in this season now where there's a lot of people coming in that have never had a relationship with God. And I try to get to everybody. And I ask them, you know, what's going on? What brought you to church? How did you hear about us? A lot of people will say, well, there's something weird going on in this world, and I figured I better go back to church. Or some people will say, you know, I've never had faith before, but the world's getting kind of scary, and I just feel this pull. So I Googled churches in Chico, and your church came up as one of them, and, you know, we're visiting churches, and I say, okay, well, great. I just pray that you find the community of God and his people that you're called to. But I'll answer all their questions, and I'll say, look, this is what's happening in the world right now. There's a decision we have to make. Who are we going to follow? Because there's only two choices. We're going to follow this world, or we're going to follow the word of God and the truth of the gospel. And I just say, there's really only two choices. So I explain to them, there's these people that are coming in that have either haven't been in church for a while, or people that never really had a relationship with God, never. But now they're starting to realize, they're feeling there's something deeply spiritual going on. Because God says, hey, look, we don't battle against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual war. Right. Princes, principalities, powers in the heavenly places. It's spiritual forces that we're dealing with. It's not people. It's Satan and his forces influencing people. That's, again, to bring it back around. That's why if we say we have a relationship with Jesus, if we say that we're ambassadors of Christ, that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we honor God, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we must get to a point now where we are in listening to the sound doctrine, living out the sound doctrine of the Word of God more than ever before. More than ever before, we are called to be in sound doctrine and endure it.
There are many good churches around, locally and beyond.
Sure.
But I would like to just add that when I have been to Rocket of Life Fellowship, the people there are always willing to engage in questions, philosophies, thinking and talking and or prayer. And that's one thing I notice about the people who are at, they attend Rock of Life Fellowship. So I just want to say the good word about that.
Yeah, it's, you know, I appreciate what God's doing. We've been open 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been open 9 years. Previously to that, for since about 1998, I was a worship leader. Mm. And then I had a Christian musical band that we used to, you know, we called ourselves Musicianaries. And we would use music to spread the word of God. And we did that. I did that for a few years. And then I worked with Champion Christian School with the teens and the junior hires and the high schoolers and doing messages and doing music for them. Leading worship, and then met Rick Stout, who used to be a principal of Champion Christian School and Paradise High School in Woodland, and he was a teacher at Chico State. Anyway, we both heard the call. We went into partnership, and Rock of Life was formed in 2014, so it's been 9 years now.
Oh.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We've been in our new building mm-hmm. since 2019,
mm-hmm.
so we've been in this new building 4 years. And God's doing great things. And you know, one thing you talked about, churches in Chico.
Yes.
We just came off the 10 days of prayer. And if anybody didn't hear about this, I'm so sorry.
But
we did the 10 days of prayer from September 15th to the 24th. It was 10 days in a row. And every night, starting on Friday, I think it was the 15th, we would a different church in Chico would host a night of praise and worship, but prayer, you know, praying for the community, praying for people, praying for the lost, praying for family, praying for our nation, praying for leaders, you know, and specific prayers of repentance and a struggle to fight off the demonic forces of this world. And it was amazing. I mean, we were in Sunrise Church. We were at Life Church. We were at Neighborhood Church. We were at our church. We did Rhema Word of Faith. We did we were at St. Augustine's, which I thoroughly enjoyed with Father Peter Hansen. And it's just, it was really nice to get together with the body of Christ. And we may have different, we may have different styles of the way the service works, but doctrinally sound,
mm-hmm.
honoring God, following Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit. It was just the body of Christ. It was so amazing. And it accumulated with... It was a night of worship at Neighborhood Church on Sunday the 24th. Man, that was great. I was blessed to be part of that worship team. And I'll tell you, it was just amazing. So when the body of Christ comes together, it is so powerful. And we have to remember, you know, we're the body of Christ. We may meet in some different buildings, but, you know, if you're the true church of God, we have to remember there's got to be unity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may have different styles and approaches, but if we're doctrinally sound, and we've got Jesus right, you know, we need to have more unity. So that's what our church has been focusing on since the beginning of the year, more community oriented.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Jesus says, you know, look, you can preach the word, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the outermost parts. And I think on occasion, I think we were focusing so much on the outermost parts that we needed to focus more here in Chico. And since we've had that focus, man, things have been happening. It's been the community with the different churches in Chico and different Bible studies and events that we've been having and a real focus. We usually would do a baptismal Sunday about every 3, 4, 5, 6 months. We just came off of 5 weeks in a row.
Oh!
Because people were giving their lives to Christ, people coming in. We have people that want to rededicate. So God is doing something, and we want to be ready. And we can't be ready if we're not enduring sound doctrine. And we're not focused on honoring God, following Jesus, and being led by the Holy Spirit.
And we look at the world, and we can see lots is going on.
It's a mess.
Well, that's why we seek fellowship, and we seek God within that.
Yeah, so, amen.
So it's no surprise that we are having a response from the community to seek God, seek Jesus Christ, and also seek doctrine.
I've got in our church now, I'd probably say 4 or 5 gentlemen and 4 or 5 women that have walked in the last 2 months and given their lives to the Lord, where that's why we were having so many baptisms. And just a rush of people coming in. And, you know, thankfully, I understand sometimes God calls people to go on a journey in their mm-hmm. walk with Christ. I understand. I mean, but there's new people coming in, and people that never had a relationship with Christ before. And I just met with a gentleman yesterday who's been part of the kingdom of God now, and for about a month and a half. And I love that. I'm in awe. I was at our men's group the other night. Remember I was telling you at our Tuesday night men Bible study?
Yes, mm-hmm.
And I was looking. I was on my right was this gentleman named Eric. And on my left was a gentleman named John. And not you, John, but the
all
other
right.
John.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in awe because, you know, sometimes I meet people that already even have a relationship with Christ. And it's great. Hey, you know, they have a testimony and you get to know them. But when you're in the presence of somebody that you knew when they said, I don't need God. Yeah, I don't believe in God. I don't need prayer. Don't pray for me. You know, and then the next thing you know, through grace of God and their encounter with the Holy Spirit and their acknowledgement of Christ as Lord, suddenly you're sitting down to these two guys that you knew before they had a relationship with Christ, and now you're looking, and they're in Bible study, and they got their Bibles, and they've been restored, and they've got through the past issues that they've had. And I mean, it's like, John's been a Christian now almost 6 weeks, 7, 8 weeks, and Eric's been a Christian for 5 years. And both of them, I had the blessed opportunity to sit down and talk with him pre-Jesus, where the questions were like, if God's so good, why does he let all the bad things happen? And if God's so good, why does he send everybody to hell? And if God's, what about the good Muslims, the good, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, the good atheists, the good, what about the people that walk little ladies across the street? God's going to send them to hell? I get all those questions. And
That's great.
I know guys on either side, and they're looking at me. I remember the questions John was telling me. John was saying like, well, don't pray for me. You know, I don't believe in God, you know. And I'm like, okay. And then it's like, hey, can we meet? And I'm like, sure, let's meet. So I'm answering all their questions, and it's not my opinion. It's not my feelings. I'm reading the Word of God. I'm telling what God says. It's not my opinions don't matter. My feelings don't matter because I can't trust them. But I can trust the Word of God, right? So I'm saying, well, this is what God's Word says.
This is
what God so loved the world that He gave it. Mm-hmm. Well, then why does God let bad things happen to everybody? Well, God says God created this world, but we're the ones that built it. Okay, we're the ones that turned it in. And God says it rains on the just and the unjust, and we've made this choice. And what about Adam and Eve? Why should I be responsible for what Adam and Eve did? And okay, what's your name, John? Okay, let's say you had a woman and you were created, and her name was Amanda, whatever. So it's John and Amanda. You would have done the exact same things. So we're all guilty.
Oh, that's
we
great.
All would have done the same. So I'm answering these questions.
Yeah.
But I'm in awe of the power of God's restorative, the restorative Holy Spirit. When I'm sitting next to these gentlemen that I knew before they had a relationship with Christ, and I'm sitting there looking at them like Tuesday night, I was like almost just joyful. I was astonished and amazed. I go, how amazing God is.
Yes.
And it's not like they became these robots. You know, one of the questions, well, if I give my life to the Lord, would I become a robot now? I got to carry a Bible all the time and say, God bless you. And, you know, so I walk around and I never cuss and I never have a bad thought. Or I go, no, that's not the way it works. I go, this is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what Jesus does, right?
Yeah.
When you acknowledge Christ as Savior and you accept, you believe that he died and he rose again for you to give you eternal life, and you confess your sins and you repent and you turn around, the Holy Spirit becomes this filter. Anything that doesn't please God, he wants to filter out of you. And any part of you that is a gift from God, your characteristic, a little quirk, or whatever you sense of humor, God wants to amplify that to glorify him, not ourselves. So the Holy Spirit just filters out what doesn't please God, and he amplifies and throws gasoline on that fire inside of you, the things that God's blessed you with, your individual personality. I tell these guys, like John, I said, there's only one of you in this world, man. Nobody can do what you can do. Nobody's called to do what you can do for God, just you. You know how special you are? God says you're a marvelous work. He knew you before you were in the womb. He knows your name, every hair on your head. You know how special you are? God wants you to walk it. God wants you to be everything he's called you to be. He just wants to filter out all that stuff that's holding you back from this amazing relationship with him. And so I'm in awe when I sit next to these guys. And I look at them and I go, I'm amazed that here, and then, you know, Eric was leading Bible study in the book of James. And he's like, open your Bible here. Is it James 1? Isn't it amazing how God's word? And this is the guy that was saying, well, if God's so good, just 5 years ago. Anyway, that was a long story, but.
No, that's
God's so amazing.
It's a great story because we all need that hope in our life. If not for us, well, let's say the people we know or even our family.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know what he's done in my life. But a matter of fact, my message this week at Rock of Life is God's restorative powers, how he can restore. He takes something that's old and makes it new again. And I'm going to give some examples, and I'll talk.
Yeah, please do.
It's my life too. It's my testimony. I mean, I've said this. I probably said it on your show and your program for a while. I mean, there's people in my life that, from my past, if depending on how my walk with the Lord was, there's people that would say Alfredo's a pastor. No way. No way. That guy. Man, this you know what this guy did? Mm. You know what he was? You know what he did to me? I mean, I got people that would probably say that.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm just not that guy anymore. I mean, I'm the same person. Mm-hmm. I my priority is different. My priority is no longer pleasing God. No. I mean, no longer pleasing me. It's pleasing God only. Yeah. I'm not, even what I was trying to say was, usually pleasing God was still trying to bring me glory because I was a musician for so many years. It was kind of false and fake. But now the goal is not to be good. My goal is to please God for his glory. Mm. And the good things will flow from that.
For his glory. Yeah,
for his glory.
Yeah. It's like John 3:3, that we must be born again. And that's what we're talking about, a transformation, where we turn into a creature where we have the characteristics that we used to have, but we are changed.
Absolutely. That's what God, he's a change agent, that Holy Spirit. You know, when he says he makes old things new, he means it. When he says that the old things pass away and the new things are here, that we're new creations, he means it. God is an amazing, restorative power. And there's people I've talked to at church and as a pastor who go, there's a person now that we're talking to. I've just done too much, she says. I've just done too much.
Oh, yeah.
I can't get past it.
Right.
I've been so evil, and I've just the things that I've done in my past and what I've, my actions and my lifestyle. It's just, I can't believe God would accept me. I'm going, oh, absolutely. You're the one he came to die for. You're the one you're the one that he loves, that God sent his only begotten son. So, you know, and God also says that it's his desire, his will is that not one person would perish. No, we'd all come to repentance. So we're trying to explain to people that God, when we have true forgiveness and true repentance, God takes our sins and he forgives them and he separates them as far as the east is from the west. We're the ones that keep bringing it up. And I keep telling her, look, you're not this person anymore.
You're not that person
anymore. Let it go. We're the ones that bring it up. Now, the devil likes to remind us of our past.
Yep.
You know, Alfredo, I know what you used to do. I know what you used to be. I know how you used to treat people.
Yes.
You know, and I got to get past that because God's forgiven me for that. So I'm focusing on who I'm supposed to be today and who God wants me to be tomorrow. If we focus on that, we'll be okay.
I've heard plenty of people talk about how the people they have been in the past, and God can never forgive me for what I've done. And they really have done some terrible things.
I've done terrible things.
Well, when we consider that any difference that is not of God is a great, well, it's a sin. It's a bad thing. I'm trying to say that everything that we do that is not of God makes a big difference. So whether our sin is great or small, it still separates us from God.
Yeah. Yeah, and the goal is to understand and endure the sound doctrine so that nothing can separate us. Nothing gets in the way. I wrote a song a long time ago when I was a worship leader up in Paradise called Prepare the Way. And it was basically John the Baptist when he was saying, prepare the way of the Lord, right?
Yes.
Remove every stone, clear every hill, open up the valleys. And it's like, that's a really great analogy or metaphor for what we are to do in our life. We want to walk with God. We want to follow Jesus. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And there's things that either life has put in our way or we have put in our own way.
True.
We need to remove those, prepare the way for the Lord to do things in our life. We need to remove the roadblocks and the obstacles that are in our way from attaining the true purpose and the will of God in our lives. And I'll use me as an example. Mm-hmm. I'll always do that. there's things I had in my life that were roadblocks between me and God. God couldn't do what he wanted to do in my life because I was the one who put all these roadblocks between us. There was either a wall or a ceiling or a blockade or something that I had in my life. So I went, one quick story.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I moved up from, I grew up in Hawaii. I moved to LA to be a musician. And then we moved up to Paradise in 1996 to be by her parents and who lived in Paradise. And I wasn't really going to church at the time. I was going through some tough things and our marriage was rocky and I was just a big jerk at the time. So my wife started going to church and she comes to me one day because I wasn't going to church and says, hey, let's go to church. I said, I don't want to go. She goes, well, I went to this one church. They got a really good band. And well, music band. Okay, well, that's my connection. I'll go.
Aww.
So I went. And make a long story short, there was like this conference going on, this special, you know, 4 days of praise and worship and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself in front of the cross, you know, just telling God, I can't do this anymore. God, I've tried it my way. It doesn't work. I'm done. I need you. And I really heard God tell me, you know, I heard him say something like, well, exactly. If you give me everything, everything, I'll give it back to you in ways you could never imagine. And that meant my family, my job, my purpose, my destiny for according to him, you know, the plan that he would have me on, my priorities. And so I went home that night, and I'd been this basically a worshiper of secular music. And for years, since I was a teenager, I collected CDs and boy, way back in the day, I mean, I had every type of thing. I had old 33s, I had 8-tracks, cassettes, CDs, you know, DVDs, books, you know, posters I'd collected for years of just, and I would spend all my time, instead of with the Lord, I would be listening or learning just secular music. See, my connection with God is through music. But it was a stumbling block because I was worshiping the world's music and I wasn't using music for God's glory or to lift him up.
Yeah.
It was all about me. You know, I grew up on stage, you know, with guitar around me and a microphone in front of me, and I'm, you know, singing to girls and nightclubs and bars and stuff. It's all about me, me, me. So that was, I was in my own way. So I went home that night and I took out the trash can from outside, the big one, and with the big, you know, flop down top. And I'm dumping stuff I collected for years, and my wife is astonished. She's looking at me going, okay, I've been praying for you, but this is crazy. What are you doing? I'm like, God told me to get rid of every single thing that's in my way of him, that's in the way of him. And so I was dumping stuff that was worth thousands of dollars, you know, collector's items, records of every, just dumping books and CDs and posters and 8-tracks and collectibles. I'm just dumping it all because I realized that that was the block that was between me and God. Now, for other people, it could be something different. It could be a sports thing. It could be a books. It could be a person.
Mm.
You know, it could be you know, something that you wouldn't consider to be bad, but anything that takes the precedence over God is a false idol, and that was my false idol, music. So I dumped it all, and the next thing you know, hey, I'm a worship leader. You know, we're making CDs. Mm. I have this Christian rock band. We're traveling. We're doing. We call ourselves Musicianaries. We're doing youth groups and festivals and, you know, preaching the gospel through music, doing altar calls at the end. And see, God had this purpose for me. And eventually it ended up being a pastor of Rock of Life Fellowship because God had this path that it couldn't be opened up unless I recognized the blocks on my path to Jesus. And once I recognized what it was and removed them by the, you know, guiding and the power of the Holy Spirit, next thing you know, boom. Here I am, you know, 15, 18 years later, walking out the will of God.
What a story for all of us, an example of the power of God in our life and how we can be more satisfied with when we give up the things we think we want and turn to God. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. And I'm sorry. I realized I did that too.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing. When prepare the way of the Lord.
Yes.
That Bible verse in, you know, Matthew is like.
Yeah.
Okay. Prepare the way of the Lord. Move every roadblock.
So exciting to see what God does in our life that we never would have expected. And it's so amazing and powerful. And it's fulfilling to us. It was something we really wanted more than the other things we were pursuing at the time. So, yes, God fulfills us in ways that are far greater and deeper than we at first thought about.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things I talk to people when they ask me questions. And I just wanted to say something real quick.
Yeah.
The prepare the way of the Lord, that Bible verse is actually, it's in a couple of different places. It's in Isaiah 40, 1 through 11. It's in Mark, not Matthew. It's Mark, chapter 1, 1 through 8. We must prepare a straight path for the Lord, removing all the obstacles. And so that's the thing we were talking about. But I talk to people a lot about that. I say, you know, when people that don't believe yet, I call them pre-believers.
Yes.
You know, I know they're lost, but we can help them find their way.
Yes.
But we have to point to Christ. So what I tell them is, look, a lot of people have a really tough time giving up things that they truly love from their past, or they don't realize that it is an obstacle. They don't realize that what they've invested in is actually one of the things that needs to be removed because they've invested in worldly things. So I tell people, here's the paraphrase part of that. Look, I'll use me as an example again. There are some things that I valued so deeply. I thought they were so important. I couldn't live without them. They're so important. I can't give this up. Are you kidding me? This brings me great joy. I just love this so much. So there's some things that I thought were important. And on the other hand, there's some other things I didn't think were so important. Going to church, read my Bible, be nice, forgive and not be offended, and not be a jerk or arrogant or something. I mean, I didn't really. There's so many things I didn't think were important to my life. And then you encounter Christ, and then you have this encounter with the Holy Spirit, and you realize that the pathway to God goes through Jesus, right? Suddenly, what happens is priorities start to shift. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you get to know who you are. And those things that you thought were so important, you couldn't live without, suddenly they're not so important anymore. Suddenly, I can do without that. And the things you didn't think were important, the things you thought, I don't really need that stuff, suddenly they become important. Fellowship. The fruit of the Spirit being love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, all the self-control, everything of the fruit of the Spirit. Suddenly, things like that become important to you. And in Galatians 5, the things that it lists out, the jealousies and the revelries and the parties and the anger and the sexual morality and all the things that it lists when you walk in the world, suddenly those things don't become so important to you anymore. That's the restorative power of God.
Fellowship is such a big thing, and that's a Rock of Life fellowship, may I just say. But the fellowship is something that grows into something of such importance.
Well, that was an important part of how we got to our name, Rock of Life. I mean, Pastor Rick Stout and I, who passed away in May of 2018, we sure miss him. He was so important part of Rock of Life. He was so amazing. Just a big, if you didn't know Rick Stout, he was the principal of, like I said, Paradise High School for a while, Woodland High School, Champion Christian School. He was just a big bear, just a huge man, Air Force guy. We called him Baloo, just this big man. I'm only like 5'7". He's like 6'3".
Oh.
And I'm a skinny little thing, and he's this big guy, and he'd give me these big bear hugs. I'd get lost in his hug. He couldn't see me. And he's just such a loving man. We were talking about, okay, Lord, what do you want this ministry of yours to be? So Matthew 16:13 basically is, who do you say I am? On this rock I will build my church. Okay, we're going to call it Rock of Life. It's, our life wants to be founded on the rock. We want to build our lives on the solid ground. We don't want to build on the sandy shores and things like that. But when it came to, is it Rock of Life Church? Is it Rock of Life, congregation, whatever? We settled on fellowship. And the reason why we felt led to say fellowship is because church is the body. Church is also misinterpreted, mean like it's a building. It's not. It's the body of Christ. But even that is so much of a noun. It's a person, place, or thing. But fellowship, that's a verb. That's an action word. And we wanted our ministry that God's blessed us with to be action-oriented. Because faith without action, faith without works is dead. So we wanted to be, we felt led to be Rock of Life fellowship. It's a body of Christ in motion, a body of Christ that's active, a body of Christ that is fellowshipping with other believers and goes out into the world to make disciples. It's an action word. And anyway, that's a long story, but that's how we got to be Rock of Life Fellowship.
Oh, that's a great illustration of the body of Christ. And let me say, again, I will just say Rock of Life has that among the people that are in that little building. There is fellowship.
Amazing.
There are people who care, who you can go there and engage, or you can go there and not engage.
Yeah.
People are just, lots of, they accept different people there. I've noticed that.
Yeah, you mentioned something I want to expand on a little bit. As a worship leader,
yes.
I don't judge people when they sit in service, because you know there's the people that will call back and hey, amen, brother, yeah, you know, or they'll raise their hand, that's right, you know. So and there's
yes.
people that just sit quietly and
mm-hmm.
they listen,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know what's going on, right? One of the best compliments I've ever had was I just led worship at a church up in Northern California, way up north, I think by Weed, and. After the service was done, I had this man walk up to me. He was quite elderly, more mature, and he walks up to me, and I remember his quote. He goes, shakes my hand, he goes, hi. He goes, my name is Bob, and I'm 91 years old. And he goes, and I don't like your music. He goes, but I know what you're doing, and I see what you're doing and who you're doing it for. He goes, and that's okay with me. And I went, okay, well, that's an amazing thing, because this gentleman was sitting down there going, no, I don't really like this music, but I can feel the Spirit of God, and I'm good with this, because our church is contemporary music, and there's times of reverence and deep, you know, times of like repentance and reverence and awe of God's power, and there's other times that it's very joyful, you know, and exuberant, because we rejoice, and again, I say rejoice, you know, and we, like Psalm says, you know, we lift holy hands, and we clang cymbals and pound drums and play stringed instruments, and we have people of all ages, which is, you know, great. But the whole point of this, too, is that, another really quick story. I led worship one time down in Fresno, and there was this gentleman in an orange suit that was at the very front.
Huh.
And during the praise and worship, whether it was a slow, reverent song or it was an exuberant praise song, he just stared us down, arms crossed, stared us down. And the worship team, I was getting kind of uncomfortable. And when we were done, we kind of went in the back, and everybody kind of said, there's about 7 or 8 of us. He goes, did you see that guy in the orange suit? And we're like, yeah, he was staring us down. That guy hated us. He did not like our music. He didn't respond. Oh, he goes, and we were all like really uncomfortable. Yeah, it was weird. So that night we go out to dinner, and we're sitting with our pastor, and we're sitting with the worship team and the leaders of our church from this conference down in Fresno. And there's a bunch of people from the conference there in the restaurant. And all of a sudden, in walks this man in an orange suit. Big, tall guy, dark hair, and he walks up to our table. I go, oh, man, we're in trouble. He's going to go, what were you guys thinking, you know? But he walks up to us, and he says, hey, listen. He goes, I'm Pastor Larry. I have a church in Texas, and I just want He goes, I want to tell you, that was the most anointed, God-pleasing worship I have ever been in the midst of. He goes, my heart, my soul, my spirit was just soaring. He goes, my goodness, I couldn't do anything. He says, I was in such, the Holy Spirit was all over the place. I was just in awe of the movement of the Holy Spirit and what God was doing. And we kind of looked at each other and go, oh, thank you. God's good, isn't he? Isn't God amazing? And it's going, matter of fact, he goes, I have a church of about, 2,500 people. He goes, I would love it if your worship team would come down and lead worship at one of our services. And my pastor at the time goes, no, they're not traveling, you know. But it was just, it's one of those things, see, God looks at the inside, not the outward.
Yes.
So that's the kind of freedom that the Holy Spirit gives us. You know, I've got people that sit down and, you know, and they listen to the worship or the message. I don't know what God's doing in their heart.
No, right.
I have no idea. And some people walk up to me afterwards and goes, you know, that message was for me. I needed that. I was contemplating the whole time. I was taking notes. I was meditating. Uh-huh. And just the move of the Holy Spirit, that's not for me to judge or to move or to, That's the Holy Spirit. That's Him. That's His job. I go out there. I present the message of the gospel. I lead worship. We play the music to honor God, and then you just pray that everybody's touched by the Holy Spirit, that they have this encounter, and that they become closer to Jesus, and that they truly learn how to honor God in the way we live. That's it. I know. A little long stories today.
No. It's filling. It fills my spirit with joy, and there's things that we go through in life that we don't expect the results that happen. We participate, or we make things happen, and then all of a sudden, hey, I didn't expect that.
Nope, didn't get that one. Yeah, and I love that. God's full of surprises. But, I will tell you one thing. On the converse side of that, I've been in some church services, before, Rock of Life. I've been at something when I was, and I can see, you get this discernment when people are doing things kind of for themselves. It's either an emotional, but it's not really spiritual. I mean, and it was you kind of got that discernment when you go, something's not sitting right here, And so I thank God for that discernment. I really believe God's given me that. I can tell when the Holy Spirit's a true movement or some kind of man-made thing, which I'm totally against. I'm against a lot of this man-made stuff that's going on in churches sometimes, fog machines and, people flying through the air on ropes and strings.
I've never seen that.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, it's just I'm not too sure. I'm pretty sure. If it's Holy Spirit, okay, fine. But sometimes church isn't.
Through the air.
Yeah, church is supposed to be about Jesus. It's supposed to be about honoring God. getting to know Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit. It's not a production. It's not a preach the word.
Yes.
Just preach the word. That's what we do.
Yes.
But
of course, we've all seen times where there was a certain element of wanting to produce something for the audience.
Well, yeah, they try to do. I mean, when I say they, I mean I'm talking about. Be careful what I say. I want to make sure I'm honoring God.
Of course.
And if it's a true church, they know that the key way to get people in church, preach the gospel, preach the truth. Preach the word.
Well, I have always liked your sermons, and that's one of the things I like about Rock of Life Fellowship is because they're always thoughtful and they reflect something in life.
Sure, I don't need gimmicks.
No,
I don't need fog machines and flashbang and fire and I just Holy Spirit fire is fine with me. I just sometimes I get disappointed because there are those you can tell that there's a time where people need to get back to exactly what Paul and what he had said. He said, preach the gospel. In 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. Yeah. God will take care of the rest.
It's very interesting to think of the difference between doctrine and, let's say, experience. When we go to a Rock of Fellowship Life church, and we have the doctrine that you have in a sermon, and we have the experience of joy because the congregation has so much joy.
We're a very joyful church. Very happy, joyful, and we got issues and problems, and we're broken, and we need to be there.
Yes,
true. And I tell people all the time, I had one person walk up to me. As a pastor, sometimes you get some criticism. you could have gone deeper on that one, Pastor. You could have gone another 20. You could have gone a little deeper. And I went, I'll tell you what. I give you notes every week, and I ask you to please take the sermon notes, and we're on Facebook and on YouTube. I go, re-listen to the message. I challenge my people all the time. Do this as a devotional through your week. Go a little deeper. Mm-hmm. I told this to people. I told this to all of them about a month ago. I said, if you want to dig deeper into your relationship with God, I'm not the one with the shovel. I just hand out the shovels, right? It's up to you to go deeper with the Lord. I'm giving you the message of God. Now you take it home and do something with it. Because to me, Sunday mornings are about giving you enough word and honoring God and giving the gospel out and the word out and preaching the word in a way that's going to grow our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And so now that's supposed to build you up and fill you up so you can pour out Monday through Saturday.
I like that idea for radio also because we have things that we talk about and there are scripture references.
Sure.
And we get so much more out of understanding if we look into the scripture and apply it.
Yeah, like we put all of our messages live, our church services live on Facebook. And I know sometimes people don't have Facebook, but we're actually working right now on putting it live on YouTube. We have all of our, a YouTube channel, Rock of Life Fellowship YouTube channel, and it has every sermon, every message, music on there, you know, everything. If you don't see what it's about, you just go to YouTube. But we don't do it live on YouTube. It gets posted about a day later, but we're live on Facebook. So we're working on doing that because we all know that the internet can be used for evil.
Yes.
We need to counter that by using the internet to spread the gospel, by telling people about Jesus. So our services are live. The messages are on YouTube. So is our worship music, if you want to see what kind of worship music that we do.
True. And what is it, again, that we look at for Rock of Life Fellowship?
Well, there's different ways. You can go on Facebook. There's Rock of Life Fellowship on Facebook. There's Rock of Life Fellowship channel on YouTube. There's also Rock of Life on Instagram. And we also have a website, Rock of Life Chico, rockoflifechico.com. And there's our website. You can read all about us to see who we are. We're all about Jesus. We're all about the truth of God's word. We're all about challenging ourselves to have a better walk with Christ, be ambassadors. We know we're works in progress. We understand God's grace and mercy, which we don't deserve, but he gives us anyway.
Yes!
And that comes with repentance and an acknowledgement that we can't do anything without God.
Amen. Oh, we have just a couple of minutes left. And is there something that you would like to close with? As I said, we just have 2 minutes here.
Yeah. You know, we talked about it earlier. There's something going on in this world. And everybody out there that's listening, you know, whether you're a believer or not, there's a decision we have to make. If you're a non-believer, the time now is right now to decide what your destiny is. Is it going to be separated from God or is it going to be with God for eternity? And as Christians, we need to make a decision. Are we really going to walk this faith out? Are we really going to endure sound doctrine? Are we going to hang in there? Are we going to give up and just wait for the Lord to take us home? Are we going to sit in the sidelines? Or are we going to be active Christians, spreading the gospel, be ambassadors of Christ? That's a decision for both parties. But there's only two. Those are the ones that will be with God and ones that will not be. So that's decision time.
That's so important. I'm glad you said that. God bless this church, the church, God's church through Jesus Christ. And thank you for being here today.
God bless.
It's a wonderful message. And thank everyone for listening. God bless everyone who's listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.